Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. "I can't believe that," said Alice. "Can't you?" the Queen said in a pitying tone. "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." How many impossibly ridiculous things have we been conditioned to believe? We most likely couldn't make a guess that would come close. In awareness practice, we're constantly encouraged to ask ourselves, "Is that so?" and "How do you know that?" But the deadly aspect of beliefs and assumptions is that we can't see them. We don't know that they're there. And when one is revealed, when we're in the shock of immediate recognition, the voices of conditioning leap to begin a recovery campaign, explaining, rationalizing, deflecting, and denying. Today, listen to the voices in conditioned mind explaining and rationalizing as you question their assertions. Record and listen. Here's our first caller, Sherry. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jan.
Hello.
California.
This is who?
Oh, sorry. This is Jan in California.
Ah, there you are. Uh-huh. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Well, I'm just struck with this assignment and an experience I had at group on Sunday with how when there's an explanation of the process that goes on, as there was in this assignment, of how conditioning, you know, goes take over, come back with all its defense and explanation and so forth. What I experienced Sunday and what I was experiencing from this assignment is how grateful I am for someone's explanation of a process that just hasn't been clear to me, or that conditioning mm-hmm. has gotten a hold of and reconfigured and swirled things around. And so I just love this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Jan. When you were talking, what dropped in was that that expression we've all heard a million times of the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And
yeah.
that cliche is pointing at, and it's interesting that those things become cliched, right? So we all recognize that. Oh, God, that is what we do. And we keep right on doing it. And it points exactly to this quote, right, that we are believing impossible things and going right on believing them because, as you point out, we don't recognize that there's a process behind what's happening to us. And then we see that process and all the lights come on. It's like, oh, my goodness. That's so helpful.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, what became clear is it's not that there's a sense that there's a knowing from practice that a process is going on, but I just haven't seen it. There hasn't been that breakthrough. And then, once again, practice through our assignments, through group, all the different ways, says it so clearly, and it's that light. And you know, I could go into how come I'm not getting this, and everybody, you know, it keeps being provided to me, but I'm not going to go there. It's that the gratitude that there's a place I can turn to, that I can be, people I can be with, that are constantly revealing it for me, and hopefully
as you are for others.
Yeah, hopefully at times, certainly.
Yeah.
Just.
Even one other point I want to make about that before you go on Even if we are stuck, it doesn't mean somebody else isn't seeing the light through our stuckness. You know, I can be stuck in something, and somebody is listening to me or watching me, and they see a process that they're familiar with through what I'm going through. And that can be just as helpful as the person who clearly articulates a process and I'm able to see it because they illuminated it so beautifully.
Yes, absolutely.
The power of Sangha.
Yes, and what I experienced on Sunday, I'm not sure about this, but this was, you know, my experience of it, is that someone was explaining how they'd been stuck and how what they had seen, and we're going sort of in and out of that, and that was part of the explanation as I heard it, and there was such resonation. I was resonating so much with that and getting clarity, so it's exactly what you're pointing to. So,
mm-hmm.
So grateful.
Yep, rolling it together, thank God, yes. So grateful.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jan.
You know, that what goes with that for me is the growing, ever-expanding faith that we are on this path together, and we're all going to get there. We're mm-hmm. all going to get to the complete clarity, the complete dropping of the illusion of separation that we struggle with. We just have that growing faith that's what's mm-hmm. happening. And the pleasure, the joy, I mean, you can hear the joy in Jan's voice of seeing it. Oh, mm-hmm. oh, wow, okay. And to live in that place rather than, you know, what's the matter with you? Everybody else knows this. What a mm-hmm. what a slug you are, which we all remember. We all recognize being in that place. And then getting to the place in practice where we're not doing that anymore, where we're just mm-hmm. really excited to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, the two things that dropped in when you said that, Sherry, is even that process of why are you not getting it is reflected for us in practice as a process of self-hate. And so when mm-hmm. that gets reflected many, many times, we become aware of it as a process, right? Mm-hmm. And so to me, the power of practicing together is how we each discover that suffering is a universal process with very, very common attributes. Mm-hmm. And what we're assisting mm-hmm. each other to do is to recognize the process. And the expanding faith you're talking about is that there is a process. I might not know. It's what Jan was pointing at. I'm aware that I'm in some process of suffering. It's just not clear to me what that is. And something mirrors mm-hmm. it. And it instantly, through resonance, we recognize it and are able to move past it.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So good, isn't it? I want to say one other thing, and I know we need to get to another person, but I was actually showering the other day when what dropped in was I choose to serve that which makes us want to serve.
Mm.
And it's a variation on the thing in the, I think it's in the Upanishads, but I don't know, of not what we see, but what makes us see. Not mm-hmm. what we see, but what enables us to see. That's what we want to see. and that's what we're pointing at here. That intelligence that animates our true nature, Buddha nature, authenticity, whatever we want to call it, that which we're seeking that's causing us to seek, That's what we're shifting attention to, mm-hmm. expanding the awareness to realize that's what's actually going on, not all this other stuff. This is just fluff and nonsense that keeps us believing that the ego is real. And mm-hmm. through practice, what we're seeing over and over, we're learning to recognize that place of, oh, I see, oh. And when we realize that's what we're going for, not what we're seeing, but what's enabling us to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
It's really exciting.
Yes, yes. I think one of those breakthrough places for me was when recently you explained that choosing unconditional love is not choosing a feeling, but it's choosing to honor that which animates all. It's the same process that our attention is being turned towards what's animating, because that is unconditional love, not to a feeling of it, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
All right,
thank
here's
you.
Our next caller.
All right.
You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susie in Idaho.
Hi, Susie.
Hello.
Hi, been a while. But I decided listening, I listen every day. And, you know, just the fact of saying, everyone's saying, just join in, that's part of it. It doesn't matter if it's, in quotes, good or bad, just join in. So I did. But what's interesting to me is how similar what I have been, what's been going on with me is so similar to what Jan said earlier.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it's just amazing. It's wonderful.
It is. It is. It's why we do this, you know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's really a help. Well, I just had so many weeks of being in conditioning and saying to myself, okay, you recognize it. That's real helpful. I'm glad you're recognizing it, you know, and but still feeling stuck and going, I know it's not how you feel, but still, you know, being there. And then last week, for some reason, it was like 3 days in a row, I was wide awake here, now, doing this. It was like, oh, wow.
It's a miracle.
3 days in a row. It was a miracle, yes. I mean, it was just so, and it's just pure grace. That's what's so strange. It's like, wow, I don't even really know. You know, we're supposed to figure out how, but I said, I don't know how, except that in the past when I've tried to change behaviors or things, it feels like you work on them for years and years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, pop, you change
That's
it.
Right.
So that maybe just
That's
trying
right.
to practice all this time. And anyway,
exactly
it was quite miraculous. Yeah.
That's it's exactly great. It. That is exactly it. And I think, now I don't know this, but this just, you know, what I've seen and seems to be the case, that the wonderful part about this whole process of waking up is we don't get to do it just because we say, I'm really tired of being me. I want to be happy. Okay, so that which animates doesn't just wave a little magic wand and say, okay, now you're happy, right? Because first of all, what we know is it wouldn't work. We've been happy before. And we slide right back into identification with ego. But as we do the work of going past that identification, of choosing life over my little selfish me, then increasingly we have these times that you're describing where we just pop through into the light. And then if through a process that as we continue to watch, we will realize is a process, we slide back into identification with ego and get increasingly unhappy and blah, blah, blah. Now, if we're lucky, which you and I are, and a lot of people who are with us in this process, then you keep practicing. Even though it's not, you're not happy, it's not going your way, right? You keep paying attention. You keep attempting to get here, to be here. And then, poop, you pop through again. And as we go along, as we continue to practice, those pops become more regular, more consistent. And you get to the point of knowing it's going to happen. If you just keep staying here and paying attention to the best of your ability, turn attention away from those conditioned thoughts, just try to get back here, back here, back here, back here, you're going to pop through again. You will. And that's where the faith comes from.
It is, yes. It's that. I've been saying one of my mantras, trust life,
Yes.
And believe
yes.
nothing. believe nothing.
There,
so that,
there you go.
Certainly those has been added and it helps. So, but I can't.
So if one more thing, if you want to know how, that's a big clue. You just described what you were doing before this pop. Okay, you're coming back to that mantra. I'm believing nothing. I'm going to be here, choosing this. Okay, that's what you were doing. So that would be a good thing to continue doing.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I will. Those are good mantras. I will keep saying them. And also, I just want to say, I know everyone probably knows it and everyone probably says it, but it's difficult not to say how helpful Sangha and all the service that everyone is doing for each other in our group is helping. Critical and vital it is to life for all of us.
Don't you just kind of get the whim-whams remembering what it was like to be out there on your own?
I sure do.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
We just don't want to do that anymore, do we?
No, we don't. No. Absolutely not. So thanks, everybody. And we'll just keep doing what we're doing. And like everyone is so happy, I'm going to do the same.
All right.
Bye,
good.
Both of you.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie. Oh, that was such fun, Sherry. It seems to be a whole mind experience because, you know, those periods of intense karmic storm where we're up against it and then we pop out and I've just been wandering around in gratitude because I feel liberated from those storms and I didn't do anything. And as you point out, actually we show up and we keep practicing. And then life just wears things away. You know, when we're ready, we move through it, and then we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a quote about similar to that. It's like the harder I work, the more miracles happen, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's pointing at. You know, the voices would say, well, you're not doing anything. You're just wandering around, you know. But we are. You know, I'm wandering around bringing my attention back here. I'm wandering around repeating that mantra. I'm wandering around choosing to the best of my ability what I choose for my life. And then the miracles happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Hello. This is Carol from San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Carol.
Thank you so much for that process that you just explained. That was great. So I was looking at beliefs yesterday, and several showed up, of course. One of them was when somebody said something that I guess it got to me. It made me feel defensive, and I couldn't shake it. And the story was, well, you should have. Why did you say that? You know, and you should have given better answers and defended better. Anyway, I was kind of going back and forth with the process, you know, and like mm-hmm. the mentor was saying, you don't really have to go there. And so it's like a seesaw, you know what I mean? A seesaw. And I thought I had dropped it, and then I woke up this morning, and that content was really there again. And so what I saw in that was that every time I went to the content, like explaining what the belief was, you know, you don't do enough and you're not enough. And so mm-hmm. I should have explained better to that person about how much I do and how hard I work. And I will if I get another chance, and it would be completely inappropriate. But that's the content. And then the process mm-hmm. was, oh, wait a minute. There's somebody down at the bottom of the well that actually needs to be just enclosed in compassion. And that's what mm-hmm. this is about. This is about, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know. And so mm-hmm. so I really saw that the person on the top of the well was the one, you know, the defensive one that wanted to assign meaning and that was flailing and circling.
We can call that one ego.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and the whole point of this is, it was so great to see, but the whole point of this is that, no, just stop. And it's just about that person at the bottom of the well that just has never been enclosed in compassion. It's always been conditional. You have to work hard. Mm-hmm. You have to do more in order to be loved. And this person today needs to drop that and have somebody circle them with compassion. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what I saw in it.
Wow. Well, it's just everything. The first one I want to comment on for that universal aspect of this, you go to bed at night, right? And there's the mentor. I love that. You know, you don't have to do this. You really don't have to do this. This is not a requirement, right? You go to bed at night,
right.
And there's sort of a little comfort in that, right? I don't need to do that. And you wake up in the morning, and there it is, right? It's like it's sitting on your pillow. Now, don't forget what happened yesterday and how, right? And, I mean, that, we can have a lot of sympathy for human beings just with that. That stuff never sleeps, right? In fact, we're often aware that it works on us in our dreams, right? Just And then
it's at a higher level this morning. It was like, and you're going down the tubes and you're going down, you know?
Right.
higher level.
But it's been revving itself up all night long while you've been sleeping. But you practice. And so what you were able to see is, this is not some big mistake. This is my spiritual opportunity. That's what this is. This is a workshop. And so I got to see that evil voice, and I'm now aware that there's somebody who's taking the brunt of that, right? And that all the ego defensiveness is just that ego arguing with ego, defending ego, arguing, but it's all ego. And there's that person who just feels bad. And that's where you want to put your attention, wrap that person in compassion, turn to the mentor and say, you're right. I don't need to do any of that, do I? Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And even like being on this call this morning, it was like, oh, God, I'm really, you know, I should be at work. I am at work, but I'm in the closet. But, you know, so it's like this is content versus process, too. Like, you really should be, you know, not be doing this. But on the other hand, I got on, so what the heck, you know?
Well, right. And, of course, that same system is going to say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you can't do this, you can't take care of yourself, you can't get centered, you can't come back to compassion. You just need to listen to me as I, you know, drive your life right down the tubes. And
like
you're never
going to get there. You'll never, it will always be something else. And like, oh, you're going to be a better employee if you listen to that stuff? No, I don't think so. Give me 5 minutes
right.
and I'll be fine. I'll be great out there.
That's right. You're going to be out of the closet, and you're going to be back in the workforce, and you're going to be a more centered, present, compassionate person for everybody throughout the day. And that's really what this is about. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so I'm loving
you,
the
Carol.
Well story. Yes.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you
so
both.
Clear, isn't it? It's so helpful to get that picture of there really is a human being that all of this work is saving.
Yeah.
That's a real human being.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you all. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. That image of the well is really going to assist all of us so incredibly, Sherry. And we have time for one other caller.
Oh, good. Oh, lovely.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary from California.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. I love the well story, and I've been thinking a lot about how that shows up in my life. And, it's very easy to take that to ego and then beat me up for it, but that's, again, it turns into like this self-reflective thing about, are you at the top of the well or are you at the bottom of the well?
Well, proving that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, will take anything and use it against us if it can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? In fact, for a lot of people, I want everybody to pay attention to, now the voices are going to say, well, you don't care about that person at the bottom of the well.
Yeah.
You're not. I mean, what is this doing for the person at the bottom of the well? Or, oh, well, all you do is think about yourself. All you do is think about that person at the bottom of the well. You are so selfish. So we just want to be ready, right? Because it's gonna try to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I don't have anything like, super specific. I actually have been looking at how I get talked out of participating over and over and over again. And somehow it's about controlling, it's this illusion of control that I can control other people's impressions of me. And the best way to do that is to not participate. So it's this very convoluted kind of thing. But what I did this morning is said, okay, well, we're just going to like put myself in the queue and we're just going to practice that. And so that's what I did this morning. And this is what
good
happened.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. And again, now talk about service to Sangha, okay? This is such an important process to recognize, to see through. Because what conditioning is actually doing is saying they will think something of you.
Yes.
Okay? Now, what they're going to think of you is what I'm telling you about you all the time. Yeah. But I'm going to make you believe that it's them thinking that about you.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way for you to be safe is to stay home with me, where I will constantly tell you who and how you are and how unsafe it is to go out there and be around them, because they will think that about you.
That's exactly
it. And it is a convoluted little dance that ego is doing. But I'll bet you if we were in one of those rooms and people would hold up their hands, every person in the room, we would all hold up our hands, because we all know that place. So that's a powerful insight and a really big one to go up against. Because what we get to find with Sangha over and over and over is, well, they don't seem to think that of me. Nobody's being mean to me. Nobody's saying nasty things to me. Oh, only you inside my head. That's the only place that happens.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful.
Yeah. That's all I got. Thank you.
Well, join us more often then.
All right.
Get away from those voices. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mary. It goes back to our quote today, right, Sherry? It's all those impossible things, and impossible in the sense of nonsensical things that we're conditioned
yes.
to believe as true.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and the basic one with what Mary was just pointing out for us is we are conditioned to believe that what's happening in our head is going on with everybody else in the world. Now, talk mm-hmm. about when we step back from it, an impossible thing to believe. If that were presented to somebody in adulthood, they would laugh hysterically, because it's so ridiculous. But because it's always been there talking to us from the time we're little people, we believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly so. Mm. And here's the assignment for today to dovetail on that, on just what you said, since we've come to an end of another show. Here it is. Most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have another deadly aspect of beliefs and assumptions. We believe, we assume, and we take for granted that we'll wake up in the morning. The brain will work, the light switches will turn the light switches on, water will come out of the tap, the car will start, the computer will boot up, the phone will have service, there will be food to eat, the money will be there. It's endless. And those are just the big things. We don't even notice. We don't notice all that makes up our lives, because we're often busy in a conversation about another imaginary life, the life of ego. Today,
happily acknowledge and appreciate the aspects of life you ordinarily take for granted, according to Lewis.
I just turned around and looked at a beautiful scene, and I take that for granted constantly, that just when I turn my eyes to something, I'll see it.
Yes, yes.
Gracious. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Treasure yourself.
We won't take it for granted. But
no, that's a good point. Very good point. We'll just hope for the best, right?
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.